Welcome to Nerdy Four, the podcast where I, Amy Brown, ask interesting people what they're nerdy for. I am here. We have our first repeat guest. I am here with Matthew English.
Hello. Hi, Amy Brown.
Hi, Matthew English. And so I know I've already had two episodes released in the new year, but this is the first podcast we're recording in the new year.
You're spoiling the magic.
Sorry. The magic, the behind the curtain is an old man who's lying to you, and his name is Amy Brown. I brought Matthew back on because I did a bunch of videos for the holidays with Matthew.
We did. We tried. You threatened to me that we would do 12, and it was a threat.
You rolled your eyes really hard.
I didn't mean to. You just caught
it
on camera.
You have gay eyeballs. You can't control them.
She's like, we should do this 12 times. I was like, oh my God, so much work. And then
you have jazz hand eyeballs.
She immediately called me out. Yeah, we had a lot of fun decorating around Amy's house, and then we went to a Christmas market.
I know, right? I really love Christmas, and I actually never asked you how you feel about Christmas, and then you told me about, like, it was your first Christmas since your mom died that you're decorating, and I felt really bad.
I love that you're just like, I never asked him about any of his feelings on what we're doing. I just demanded.
I only child it.
Didn't ask.
I was like, actually, Christmas is super traumatic, but yeah, no, sure, I'll act happy on camera for you.
Oh, God.
I'll dance if you need me to.
How often do you, act happy so much of your life?
Here's the thing, Matthew. She was using you to replace a son. You could have used her to replace a mom. You just didn't take the opportunity.
No, but she's also but I refer to her as my comedy wife. It's too late to revert to mom.
Wow.
Yeah, we've already slept in the same bed on tour.
We did, and we do crop the other two people who shared that bed with us out of that photo, because we're the sexiest two in that photo.
Matthew, what's it like to sleep in a room full of three women and you're the only dude?
Everyone was amazed. So everyone, we were at a comedy festival and our
North Carolina Comedy Festival. Shout out.
We
love it.
Our room became the party room because you remember, like, Sammy had her own room.
Sammy had her own room. She needs alone time, and I support her in that.
I do too. And someone else had their own room, but everyone piled into our room to watch Scream.
Oh.
Scream 1 and Scream 2. And I was like, guys, I'm so tired. I need a nap. And Sammy was like, oh, I've got that single room upstairs. Go upstairs. I was like, no, I can sleep through anything.
It's
and like, I did.
You grew up in a sorority house or something. If you can, like, all that female energy, like, and you could totally, and it lulled you to sleep like a baby in a bassinet.
Your
brother's gay and you have a sister.
The whole family likes dick. And
but all my family has dicks.
We should. No, wait, no, that's inappropriate. Okay, bring them together.
Swapsies.
That's the wife swap we need in 2024. But it's, yeah, so I can literally, if I'm horizontal, I'm asleep. Like, it's
that's
just
how tired you are.
I'm sleepy.
Matthew, that makes me nervous for you. Are you safe behind the wheel? If
he said horizontal.
Yeah.
He's not like laying down and driving.
Do not pimp your ride, okay? Do not lean your
just me and
back.
No.
You're going to fall asleep driving your car.
I drive a completely upright, rigid 10 and 2 with the heat, the seat warmer turned on as high as it'll go, just roasting me.
You're trying to prevent your boyfriend from getting pregnant by boiling your eggs.
just a nice sear on my backside is what I'm looking for.
The older I get, the more I love a seat heater.
Oh, it's beautiful.
My sciatica's barking. If you exercise and you get in your car and you drive 30 minutes, which is what you have to do in Atlanta to go anywhere, and you try to get out. I'm 47. I just turned 47. We try to get out of the car. I stiffen up and then I limp for a little bit.
Yeah.
And the seat heater helps me with my back.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Let's talk about, okay, I want to talk about the new year and feelings and aging, and we're all going to die. And children grow up and they leave the house.
Oh, so we're keeping it real light.
Yeah. Tithe, his mom passed this year, and then we're going to talk about how everyone dies. Matthew, how do you feel about the fact that everyone dies?
How do I feel about the fact that everyone dies?
Sorry.
Can I plug Gabby Watts for a second? Because so after the first roast show I did after my mom died, Gabby Watts was on, and a lot of people were like, Matthew English is so nice, I've got no jokes about him. Next. And then they, like, move down the dais. Gabby Watts gets up. She goes, and she got to her little, you know, section of jokes about me. And she's like, well, Matthew English is here, and he's really familiar with roast because his mom was cremated earlier this year. which was just brutal, and I loved it. But yes. I brought a friend, my gym mom.
Oh, okay. So at the time, you I was just a lot of moms.
I do have a lot. I have,
or
I have
wives,
moms. It's a whole polygamist nonsense happening
you,
in my life.
It's 2024. You get to do whatever you want whatever with want. Your imaginary
but my
moms.
My gym
and
mom, Diane. Shout out to Diane. Love Diane. She goes to the same gym I go to, and now I work at. But I brought Diane to that roast, and she was like, "You did great, honey. But where's that girl, Gabby? I want to fight her." I was like, "Oh my god, Diane, no,
no
she's my
friend." That's a good joke. That's a good joke.
Oh, the other jokes were great too. Do you want to hear the others?
Yes.
Gabby's great.
Well, I guess the other one that was my favorite. I don't know if you guys can see how vascular I am. I'm very
veiny. So for people who are listening, Matthew English is all veins and tendons and intentions and is that guilt under here? You can see right through his skin.
So Gabby was like, I don't know if you guys know, but like Matthew's lost a lot of weight and he's gotten to fitness in this last year. He's looking really vascular. So it's going to be really embarrassing if he fails another suicide attempt.
God.
Gabby's so good. I'm producing.
Diane was like, I'm going to fight her. But also, to tell my own joke, because Gabby and I both, Gabby is my comedy kindred spirit. And that's why I love her to pieces. But like, when I see her, when we're on a set list, like right next to each other, I'm like, you should probably break us up. Because like, we can both be so dark and so dirty from different energy levels, but dark and dirty. Mm-hmm. And, but I love her to pieces. So the roast joke I wrote about her, I now use in my set, my joke was, you know, like Gabby's birthday is Halloween. So everyone, and she kind of has like a spooky vibe if you know her. I was like, so everyone assumes her favorite holiday is Halloween, but it's not. Her favorite holiday is actually Arbor Day. And she celebrates by driving around the city and looking for trees with limbs strong enough to hang herself from.
Suicide jokes.
Has she had suicidal ideation?
She's so, and if we have a weird like parallel thinking joke,
dark. Happy 2024, everyone. Strap in.
What is my joke? My joke is I've threatened to kill, or I've tried to kill myself twice. But you know what they say? Third time's the charm. And Gabby, while talking about like, you know, she'll like lead into it talking about like being in comedy, being in, you know, working in, you know, the entertainment industry. She'll lead into that. She'll start with that usually and then like leads into this punchline where she's like, and that's why I call myself a triple threat because I've threatened to kill myself three times. We both have this like threes and suicide parallel thinking moment. And then we both have these suicide jokes about each other at this roast.
Oh my gosh, y'all are too funny. I mean, that's like.
You're dark. Yeah.
You have to laugh, right? Because it's our way for our brains to get close to something and not let it be so scary. It kind of cuts it down. It's like when you have a bad thought and you write it in a journal and you look at it, it takes the power away. And I think laughing at stuff that's terrible and helps cut it down a notch.
And I've had people tell me like that my suicide jokes made them, not people. I shouldn't just say people. My family. My family has told me that like the jokes about suicide make them uncomfortable because like
they're
so worried about
me. Should we be worried about you?
No,
okay.
Also, it's your suicide. You get to make jokes about it.
Thank you. Right? And, but I've had strangers come up to me after shows and tell me like, thank you for talking about it. I think a lot of times for a lot of people, humor is how they process things. And it is a jumping off point for a conversation. So even if my joke did upset you or offend you for whatever reason, never my intention to it. I pretty much go about all my comedy without the intent to offend anybody ever. That's not the game
that's
I
not
play.
Your energy.
That's not my energy. I don't do that. And which is why gay audiences hate me. But another story. Uh-oh. But but like, okay, yeah. So let's talk about that. Like, let's talk about why that joke offended you. Like, what about it? You know, it's like, why is this a topic you think shouldn't be joked
when you
about?
Point you know, a finger at someone else? You got three or four, depending on how many fingers you have in your life, coming back at
you. Yeah, we don't want
to. Has anyone ever come up to you and asked like if that was like a lie or if you made up the suicide joke? Like,
oh, maybe if it wasn't authentic. Maybe
because
it
was authentic.
Like, and then you're punching down instead of punching yourself.
You know what the lie is? I wrote that joke and then did attempt a third time, failed a third time.
Gotta update this joke, baby.
I'm gonna wrap you in like
also
bubble wrap.
Saying a fourth time isn't as funny as third.
That's, third time's the charm is the same.
That's a funnier.
So you gotta keep it there.
It is funnier. Amy's like, how about we don't joke about suicide?
Three times, because if you're joking about it and then you do it again, that makes me feel like you're not on the other side of it.
I
I mean, we talked about this in his last episode.
Yeah.
You know, depression doesn't go away from a failed suicide attempt.
No. Fourth, so third is the charm.
Fourth is okay. We'll see what happens next time.
We got to do a bunch of rhymes
fourth
now.
Time and I need a new hobby.
Yeah. Well, no, because when I used to do stand-up, I would talk about my heart attack that I had. And then I would, more often than not, no one was like, that's offensive. More often than not, people would be like, that's so crazy. How'd you come up with that joke? And I was like, oh, I had a heart attack in like my 20s because I overdosed on cocaine. And they're like, why would you say that?
Why would you keep your shame in your box?
Well, there's a lot of people that don't want their shame and stuff. Which I was like, I get it, but you know, yeah. I'm not doxing anybody. I'm not like this guy. I looked up his medical history. He had a heart attack. It's just like But you get to talk about your own stories.
I agree. I have a question for the team. What shame do you have around the holidays? Ooh, that's a page turner.
Shame around the holidays? What do you mean?
You like, share yours first.
I like to. Okay, I had probably 5 to 10 turkey sandwiches within a 24-hour period. I got turkey sandwiches for my birthday, and then
is eating and being hungry.
Well, I also drank vodka with it. Did you have it like that? So I was like, this is not
shame.
Sustainable is to eat this many sandwiches, and like I would eat a sandwich, be full. Feel my tummy full and be like, there's another turkey sandwich in the refrigerator. I think I can do one more. With potato chips, because I'm not a monster.
Yeah. ADHD, I know I keep talking about how you have ADHD, but ADHD is heavily linked to really poor impulse control and addiction issues, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
The cool kids.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah.
Poor impulse control.
I don't know if I had any like shame over the holidays of like something I did. My holidays were pretty low key. We went up to my girlfriend's family's house, and it was also her first Christmas after her dad passed. So it was also just, you know, a lot of
spooning.
Well, yeah, just spooning all of her family was a different way of grieving, and so like, you know, just the different manifestations of it. So it was just me being like, I'm just here to be here and help. Is there anything I can do?
Are you tired from that? Because you have like a lot of energy for caregiving.
I was tired afterward. No, after we talked, like we were on our way back, and she was like, "Oh, one of my friends is doing this get together." I was like, "I want to sit at the house and have to do nothing for anybody for a few days. Like, I want to watch TV, play video games, or like catch up on work. But I want it all to be." And she understood it. We were there for like 6 days too.
How many? So yeah, I needed to be alone for 3 days after the holidays. I was unfortunately not alone. I was on a trip with people, and so I just looked like a zombie. And they probably thought there was something wrong with me, but
nothing's wrong with you ever. I and to clarify, this wasn't the first Christmas since my mom passed, but this was what we were talking about while decorating. This is the first Christmas I decorated, because Christmas was my mom's holiday. So my mom passed in 2020, but every year we always traveled because my sister has babies, so we always traveled to
her. That's a good to make a new normal.
Yeah, well, yes. And so I was living with my dad, so we just didn't decorate the house because it was like, we're not even gonna be here for most of December anyway. It's like, why decorate just to come home from vacation or, you know, from seeing my sister and then have to take it all down? Like, who wants to come home to that chore?
Yeah.
But this year I moved in with my boyfriend.
Ooh, and
Boyfriend. We call him boyfriend.
Living boyfriend.
And he, boyfriend roommate, and he wanted to decorate for Christmas. So we did decorate for Christmas. And I was like, and then after we put up the tree was the moment I was like, oh, yeah, no, I haven't decorated a tree since my mom died.
Did you immediately start crying or were you okay?
I got like a single tear in the moment.
Oh, very Lifetime movie.
I know.
Yes, perfect timing.
I know.
Can you control your cries? Like one tear out of the left eye?
No. Have you seen Margot Robbie do that? It's insane. She can do that.
She
credits her time on soap operas.
Oh.
Yeah. She's like, what side do you want it on? How many tears? What kind of flow? Like she can just like.
Wow.
I can't do that.
Well, that's fake crying, right? For real crying. I sound like a hyena.
My whole face gets red and
puffy
inflamed.
Eyes.
Yeah.
So ugly. I can't. I feel like I can't leave the house. Because
luckily, I'm a gay man. I have a lot of preparation H just around. Just slather that on like cold cream. Human in the morning.
I haven't had a huge cry since the pandemic. Like just a crazy cry since the pandemic. Knock on wood.
Don't.
Knock on wood.
Don't hit the table.
I'm not supposed to hit the table. I know it goes into the microphone.
I've had a couple big cries just like in the last 3 months. Like big cries.
Big cries. Does it feel good?
No.
Oh, sorry. No, it wasn't cathartic.
I'm not a crier though, like famously. It's weird. Like, and then I can tell you like the movies I cried at. You know what a movie I sobbed at? Watchmen. Have you ever seen it?
No. What is part? It a Marvel movie?
It's, I don't even remember what
it's,
part.
Technically it's DC, but not within the DC universe.
Movie? It's a superhero movie.
Was it because they were supporting each other and their mom came back from the dead this and decorated for Christmas? No,
Watchmen is a super dark, like more realistic kind of anti-superhero take on, it's the comic's good. The movie's okay. I don't like the ending the movie did.
No.
Because it
deludes. Because I've read the comic too.
Because the comic, but we don't need to get into this. I mean, I guess we do because
right
now we're just talking about suicide and depression and we're like, comics? No, not on a nerdy podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Amy doesn't know this comic. I'll lend it.
It's actually,
you.
It is really good.
Will I like it?
Yeah, it's easy to read. It's really, it is dark. It? Yeah, but it's a graphic novel.
It's a comic book.
So there's pictures and then you just read the dialogue.
I like a magazine.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I can do that.
But it's dark as hell though.
I cried so hard at My Girl. Do you remember that movie? The boy.
With Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay dies.
I've never seen it.
I saw it in the theater. That's how old I am.
His glasses. He needs his glasses.
And I was wearing a windbreaker, like a raincoat. And a pool of tears
Anna Klumsky.
Came into my, it was like a over the head raincoat. And I
you're
had
just
to like,
collecting tears in this waterproof liner.
Like a puddle on my chestal area. And then luckily I had some napkins so I could like sop it up before I had to leave the movie theater. Taking like,
what? Wait, like so My Girl is a stab. That's a good easy one to cry to because like Macaulay Culkin is dead as fuck. And then there's like, he dies so hard in it.
He dies so hard, and the girl's devastated.
And then there's also like a funeral scene because she also lost her mom. She like loses her mom at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, nothing good happens.
And then like gets this new friendship, and then he dies. So she's just like double trauma.
And he was trying to get something for her, and then the bees attack.
Oh, so it's her fault.
It's her fault.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't like oh. And then they all came back and it was just a joke. No, everyone's just still dead at the end and she has to move on with her life. It was too much like reality.
What was the part of Watchmen that made you cry?
I don't remember. Okay. I just remember I sobbed at that movie. Ah. Yeah, I do remember that. One that'll make me cry, Steel Magnolias.
Oh, yeah.
The funeral scene, that one. Sally Field's monologue.
I love it when they fight. And her friends are like making her fight so she can get it out and stuff.
Yeah,
that was a really cool scene. You gotta have your group of ladies,
your group of gals,
help you and not be afraid to fight with you so you can cry harder.
That's Amy Brown for me.
Aw, I'll make you cry harder.
So about my Christmas shame, I don't think I have any Christmas shame.
I one time opened up a present, I remember as a kid, and I thought it said my name, but it said someone else's name. And I'm still embarrassed about that. I was like, I'm so bad at reading.
My mom wanted to be a part of Christmas so much that she was such a, like one of her love languages, I think, was gift giving, especially at Christmas time. She was obsessed with Christmas. She was great at it. But like Christmas morning, we'd come downstairs, you know, Matthew, tear it open, Matthew, tear it open, Matthew, tear it open. And like Christmas was over in 10 minutes, right? Like, you know, and I would just tear through all the things out of my name on it. My sister would tear through all the things out of her name on it.
Do you guys do it one at a time or you do all at the same time?
Like
a mob.
Before it was like a mob, like animals. We'd come in, tear everything open. We were little kids. So my mom started doing from the age of like 5 on into adulthood, into my 20s, my mother did this. She numbered the gifts.
Oh.
Every present under the tree. 1, 2, 3, 4, and she had a list. And we didn't have to open them in that order. We'd pull a present out from under the tree, be like, hey, this one's labeled 17. Who's it for? She goes, that one's for dad. And
you pass it to dad.
Dad
she
opens it.
She had a spreadsheet?
It.
Who has time for that? I'm lucky if anything has a label on it. I'm like, I think this is for you.
She, like a conductor of a symphony.
Oh, wow. She's very
organized. So she knew, Small gift, big gift. Is she like?
Well, some years like there was a year I think it may have been the year I got like a GameCube for Christmas. I opened up a GameCube game, but I hadn't opened the GameCube, so everything had like a little note, like not like you know, like whether it would say like, hey, this one's like a console, this is a game for that console, you know, like, or if, it, yeah, if there were things that had connected. To go together, she'd be like, we'll open that one when you also find this other number, you know.
Yeah.
She would kind of like cue us into things like that so we couldn't spoil surprises for ourselves. Yeah, that happened 1 year. And then, yeah, little notes started to appear. And so that was always the thing, was like, you know.
Did you have stockings too?
Yeah, we had stockings too.
This is the first year we didn't have stockings.
I did not have any Christmas gifts this year.
Oh, all my siblings and I. We gave you some candy.
Oh yeah, no, which I kept eating and it was taken away from me by someone.
Whom?
Good use of the word whom. Thank you. We had a house guest over and I offered that we were making dinner for them. And I was like, dinner's not, I had failed in the orchestration of dinner. And so here, have some of this candy while you wait. Cause they've been on a road trip and they just gotten in. I'm like, I know you guys are starving. Please have some candy. And they ate a couple pieces and I ate a piece while I was cooking. I was like, oh, this shit is so good.
It was a good
and then
day,
I kept eating it, kept eating it, yeah. kept eating. And then one of my guests took it and hid it for me.
Oh my.
It's like, you need to stop eating this candy.
Oh, and it's going to be somewhere lost in your house and you're going to have ants?
I'm going to find them eventually.
You have to be careful where you hide your shame
food.
Don't
hide your shame food. Let it out.
I feel like, okay, people keep posting videos from their cars on the internets. And I don't like that because your car is your shame box, okay? Your car is for having extramarital affairs or hooking up with strangers. Your car is for eating food you shouldn't eat, like McDonald's.
That's what I did for a long time.
Or strangers. That's not where you're, like, it's your shame box.
We mentioned banging in the car twice, so we now know where Amy did a lot of her shame banging.
All of it.
Yeah.
I don't, like, when people, like, are doing, like, first person to the cell phone videos from their car, I'm like, oh, what are they going to show us?
Yeah.
Ooh. Hide the underpants in the back or whatever. They're like.
I do have two pairs of underwear in my center console right now.
Are they for working out or?
One is a pair of gym underwear in case I forget gym underwear.
Are they trophies?
They're not trophies.
They're not trophies.
They're mine and they are clean.
They're hookup trophies. The walk of shame. Hookup.
The drive of shame.
You hit a pedestrian with your car.
I open the door and push them out while I'm moving.
You hook up with them and steal their underpants.
Steal their underpants.
One, steal underpants. Two, three, make profit. Did you see that?
The South Park.
That South Park episode.
No. That's an old one. It's like underpants dumb. I do. You're very right, though, about the shame eating. Mine wasn't necessarily shame eating, but when I used to live in very overpopulated apartments or apartment complexes where everyone hung out and, like, everyone was poor. And I would, like, go get food. And be like, I know everyone's going to want some of this food because everyone's so broke. And so I would be like, I would, like, eat so much of my food in the car and then go inside and be like, oh, sorry.
I didn't get a whole lot.
I only got a few crystals. And then I left the rest in the car.
I had to learn that a crystal is a kind of hamburger.
You're so rich.
It's cultural. It's a geographical thing. They didn't have it.
What do they have at White Castle up north, right?
I had never heard of it, and I saw a comedian talking about crystals, and I was like, is that meth?
You're like, Swarovskis?
A bag of meth.
You're like, I relate to, finally, something I can relate
to. She's like, finally, someone to talk about my Waterford with.
A bag of
crystal.
Goblets? What?
Last night, Amy went to Angel and was like, you need to run for public office. You just look so good. And I talked to Amy. I was like, you're the only person in this room that would ever look at anyone and think you should run for public office. Because that's a higher tax bracket line of thinking. Just being like, well, I could find somebody to finance.
Joel, what? Have you never been in a room with someone running for office?
No. Technically, yes. But
not
they're
running
like,
to an office.
But no. I've known people, but they're like, oh, I'm going to be poor all my life because I'm going to constantly run campaigns and I'm running on like a communist super leftist ticket. And I wish they would get the elect, but they're not going to win, especially not in Georgia or Tennessee, which where I've been from. Yeah. Where they're like, we're going to fight for free healthcare. It's like
grassroots. How many times they say that in a sense?
Oh, all of it. Yeah. And you know, I wish that would win, but you know, money wins. And so, yeah, that's why I do comedy. Yeah. What a depressing first episode.
This is great.
This has been so much fun. I feel so much better.
I feel though, like, there's so much. Like, I got very joyful around the last year. I didn't do the holidays enough, And so I went into January feeling like, oh, I need to have another Christmas. I didn't do Christmas enough. And this year I did Christmas hard the entire month. And I'm like, yeah, check box. Like check, we didn't. Done. The only thing we didn't do was set up the Christmas train. I'm moving on from that. My son usually sets up a little train.
There we go. This makes sense for your family.
And he came back from college and he didn't set up the train and we didn't have stockings. Oh. And he's going to get married someday. And he's going to move away and have babies. And I'm not okay with any of it. How about... my eyes are tearing up. I'm crying.
You're crying.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
I'm one single tear down the left cheek. And
he's been gone for like 5 months.
And I know he's flown back twice already. Maybe three times. It's fun. It's having the whole family together. That, like, I don't know. Like, people decide how many children they're going to have. Sometimes they decide. Sometimes life decides for them. But having at least, like, more than one child, I highly recommend it. Because especially close together, because they talk. And it's hilarious as an outsider, like as an adult, watching the children talk and see them be funny together. Like, the energy in our family is just more fun when it's all four of us. When it's just the adults and one child, he doesn't have a peer to communicate with. And I don't know what he's saying because he's saying things like cap and meh. And do you know like all the new language?
I work with a bunch of 19-year-olds at Starbucks.
What are some other ones they're saying?
I don't know. They don't talk to... I'm 31. They don't tell me anything.
Cringe.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I can't think of the Gen Z lingo. They scare me.
Okay, boomer. They say that to me a lot.
Well, yeah.
And I punch them in their throats.
And you're like, I'm Gen X, please.
Yeah. I still can't use my phone, though. They're not wrong.
When on road trips, I help Amy with her phone. Can confirm.
Yeah. I know. I can't see my phone.
Together. Oh, I left my glasses. Together. I can't see anything. Oh. I can see. Fine.
Oh, golly. So, okay. I did enjoy decorating with you. Thank you so much. Thank you for going to the German village with me.
That was so much fun.
That was so much fun.
Was very cute.
Did you like that? You made that video. It's adorable.
I just added the captions and little animations.
So cute.
It was just
so cute.
It was fun. Yeah, you light up the screen. You're so much fun.
You light up the screen.
Stop.
You're a superstar. Your light shines so bright.
Amy's really scared I'm going to kill myself, so she's going to be very, very complimentary.
Amy just found out about the new attempt. She's like, Matthew, she's everything's like, great. Do you want to move into one of these rooms? Boyfriend can move in too.
Got you fitted with this straitjacket and a padded room.
Oh my gosh. So what are your, like, okay, moving, 20. First of all, 2024, that is not a real year. That's a made-up year you would hear in a movie or in a book about the future, and we have flying cars, and a virus takes over and attacks the population. Well,
shuts down. That last part already happened.
That's right.
That did. That was a real thing.
I thought it was a dream. A fever dream.
Just woke up. I went to bed in 2019.
Yeah. You got long COVID there.
How are you feeling moving into the new year? How, like, where are you? Because you have chapters to your life. I am now at the chapter where I'm like, this bitch ain't going to change. Like,
You are who you are at this point.
The tracks in the mud are very deep now. That tractor has been going in the same direction. I know myself so much more now that I am like, oh no, she's not going to do that. We're not signing up for this. We're not signing up for that. She's not going to do that. And if you talk about yourself in the third person, you're supposed to have more success. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I just thought you had...
I've lost my mind.
You're dissociating.
Dissociating.
Having an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, that too. So I know myself so much more. So a new year doesn't really mean anything to me because I'm not like, I'm all of a sudden going to start only eating honey and walking on one foot because then you get more exercise and I want a plump butt, but just on the right cheek. Like,
I feel the same way. Resolve to do something different or better at any point. Why does January 1st have to be the day? You could hit rock bottom
in July.
At any moment.
4th of July, you get too hungover. Wake up call, right?
Yeah, I did see a very good TikTok where a woman's New Year resolution was to pet 50 new cats this year. And she's, you don't like cats. It's fine. You need the unconditional love of a dog. Cats. I get it. But you could be 50 new dogs.
Oh, that's, yeah. You're right.
Your face was so just. Do you hate cats?
No, I'm allergic to them, and then they smell bad, and like their hand smells.
Okay, wow, really coming for cats right now.
What do you mean cats smell bad?
See, okay, when you grow up in the country, cats are kind of disposable. They don't live very long. Well, it's a hard life.
You're thinking of like feral stray cats.
Don't get attached. Yeah, they live in the barn and they get eaten by foxes. This is their life. Sometimes I saw a horse step on the cat. But it was okay afterwards. It was alarming.
Matthew writes down, have you tried getting stepped on a horse?
Death by horse.
Hold on.
Death by tramp? Oh, wait, no, the cat lived? Fuck it. No,
damn it.
Scratch that off the list, too. Eaten by fox.
Eaten by a fox.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. If you Google those, no one's going to be suspicious.
No one's suspicious.
No one's suspicious.
But the term self-immolation.
Yeah.
Big red flag.
Yeah.
Self-immolation?
To set yourself on fire.
Oh, golly. Yeah. How do you know that word? Oh, did you Google it? Are you Googling ways to unlife yourself?
That was the joke we were just making.
Making the joke.
Sorry, yeah. I was thinking about cats.
No, but self-immolation is going to put you on like a terrorist watch list.
Self-immolation also, man, that if you don't die.
Monks do that.
That is a rough after.
That's to get your skin all fixed up. I don't want to have fire on my skin.
I caught myself on fire when
you
I was like.
You caught yourself on fire?
Yeah, when I was 18.
This girl is on fire.
We're trying to do the thing where you just like sprinkle some rubbing alcohol on your pants, light it in a burst,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes out. And then my friend was like, I know how much to put on. He put on the whole bottle. So like my pants just fully on fire.
Wow. Yeah.
I had
liar, pants on fire.
I had like first degree and second degree burns. And
golly.
And I remember they were like asking me. They're
on
like,
your wiener?
No, close to it. It was like
wiener adjacent.
I got like some thigh burns.
Thighs,
oh,
Amy.
The first thing I did was like grab my dick and make sure that was fine. That's like,
and it came off in your hand.
Yeah, it came, no, but I do remember them at the hospital. They're like, "What's your pain level?" I was like, "It's like a 10." They're like, "That's good." I was like, "How the fuck is that good?" And they're like, "If you had third degree burns,
you wouldn't feel it.
You wouldn't feel anything."
Is that the degrees?
Yeah, first, second, third is like you have permanent nerve damage. There's nothing you can do. Those nerves will never come back. So like first and second you can heal from, but third is when you start to get into grip. But I remember that so vividly where they're like, it's good. I was like, it's not good. I'm in so much pain. They're like, no, because that means you didn't permanently damage your body for this stupid thing you did.
Yeah.
And then I lied and said we did not. I wasn't setting my pants on fire. We also filmed it.
Oh, God.
And then like
this is like a Jackass. Were you trying to do Jackass? Because there was a
kid
that did that.
Not even like Jackass. Like we just it was just a dumb thing, but we did film it. But that was back whenever like you know you had like digital videotape, so there's still and so I'm like give me the tape and I'm like ripping it out as we're going to my grandmother's house because she was like
tape.
Yeah, she was like a volunteer firefighter, so we went to her house first to be like, hey, how should we go to the hospital? And but I was like, we gotta get rid of this evidence. I was like, okay, what's the story? We were playing with rubbing alcohol next to a fire. We didn't actively plan this. We're all stick together.
Oh my god, you made your pants into a wick.
Yeah, it was a bad idea.
That's good. And impulse control, is that right? The ADD.
Yeah. I'm so good at being addicted to things. Once again, earlier in this podcast, we mentioned my cocaine-induced heart attack at 21.
So you were addicted to setting things on fire?
No, that was just a dumb idea. I was just bored. Also, I was sober then because I couldn't smoke weed because I'd been caught smoking weed.
Okay, I thought this whole time you were like 11 years old.
No, I was 18, 17, 17, 17 or 18. No, yeah. I just couldn't smoke. Like, but then my parents.
I think you might be a late bloomer.
No.
You're a real adult now.
No. I was just. Men don't like mature mentally until like 26. Like,
yeah,
men are
the
dumb.
The front lobe doesn't develop. Yeah, for.
Men are stupid. For a long time.
100%.
Functioning. There was this lady who is a neuroscientist, and she has. Master's degree candidates in her program, and she can tell the difference when they like around 26, 27, they're like, oh, there's the person. Yes.
There you are.
You did it. You made it through. Now let's talk about your career.
Let's make big life decisions.
Now let's make big life decisions. I made all my life decisions when I was 22 and nothing happened that was bad.
You're thriving.
I'm thriving. Okay. So yeah, circling back. New year, I
my
know.
Christmas shame.
Christmas shame. New year, I know I'm not going to do things I'm not going to do, but there is this cool thing people do 40 firsts when they turn 40. And you have to do 40 new things you've never done in the year that you're turning 40.
Wait, I'm turning 40 here.
Shut up. I hate you.
I don't know. If you're lying about your age or if you're wrong about mine, I don't know what's happening here.
She's like, Matthew, you're 40 next year.
Matthew, you're turning. You know who thought I was 40? You'll know this name. Paul Byron. Anyway, that's another story.
For that's because time. You lost.
Just name dropping.
Paul Byron.
Paul, remember that time you asked me, you said, yeah, guys our age, and I was 26.
Paul Byron, I think he just turned 39. He got mad at me because I said something. I was just like, yeah, you're 40, right? He was like, no. And I was like, then he told me his age. I was like, shut up. You're like so close. Well, I'm 36, so I'm definitely closer to 40 than, yeah.
It's weird. Getting older is weird. All these pockets of time kind of fold in on themselves. So I think string theory is accurate. I don't know what that means. I was just trying to sound smart.
You are like, so smart. Yeah, somewhere your husband's shaking his head and he doesn't know why.
Ken's just like,
don't dive off the road, honey, listening to this. So like especially if you've moved, you're like, okay, that's the pocket of time I lived in D.C. That's the pocket of time I lived in Boulder. This is the pocket of time I lived in Atlanta. Yeah. I don't know what my next pocket's gonna be. Hot pocket.
Are you moving?
No.
Breaking news: Amy Brown is moving too.
But I am tired of living in a city, and I know the next, like, there's going to be a phase in my life because I am a woman of a certain age and tax bracket where I'm just going to be like, I need to be alone in the woods with my dogs, and just walking in the woods with a pack of dogs.
I love that for you.
Well, wearing wellies.
Watch out for the foxes. They eat the cats.
British lady outfits with a walking stick and talking to the birds. Like, that's one of the phases. But I think there's going to be another phase before that.
I think the phase before that is
best-selling touring comedian.
Yes. Yeah.
Put that in the dream catcher.
Best-selling author, comedian. You've seen her on Seth Meyers. She's hosting SNL next Saturday.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of pressure. Oh my, I can't read cue cards.
You said cue cards.
That's the only thing I think about.
Read this.
Don't hit the table. Remember photos. Okay. I just know, like,
notes.
I was the whole time I'm watching those actors, I'm like, they're reading cue cards right now, mm-hmm. and then acting at the same time.
Well, some of them remember their lines too, but
right. I'd have to memorize everything, which I probably could do. Actually,
you actually could.
I'm memorize so much.
Terrible at memorizing lines.
Because you can read. You have a crutch. Some people call it a skill set. You could do 30 first when you turn 30, like 30 new things I've never tried. It's fun to hang out with those people who are doing that year because you're like, I'm going to go to a dance class. And then your guy friend's like, I'll come. Like, really? Like, yeah, I've never done that before and I got to get one of my 40s done. My first done. It's so really funny.
Does it have to be a round year? Or can I do 32 new things this year?
Yeah. Yes. It's fun. It's fun putting yourself out there. As I get older, I really appreciate being new at things and being like, I have no idea what's happening. Explain everything to me. I like being an amateur. I like being.
That's a good accepting mentality. Because there's people who will try something new and they're bad at it and they're like, well, that sucked. And it's like, you're just new.
That's me, baby.
Oh.
Joel identified with that.
So do you think that's bravado or do you feel like very insecure not being good at something and you feel like someone's going to be mean to you about it?
No one's going to be meaner to me than me about it, about me, Martin, because I like to be good at the things that I enjoy and do. I don't have to be the best. I just like to understand. If it's like a new thing that I'm not like passionate about or don't have an interest in like actually becoming good at it, I'm like, well, that was fun. Like, we did that. But if it's like something like, oh, I'm interested in this and I want to do it and then I start doing it and I'm not immediately good, my perfectionist brain gets really upset.
Mm. It's like me and tap dancing. So I have an obsession with tap dancing.
You buried the lead. What's
and
happening?
I had an ex-boyfriend buy me not only a pair of tap shoes.
I have tap shoes. Do you want to tap together?
Like 12 tap classes with.
Oh, it's really hard.
With a studio here in town. She's and so, so hard. I waited until. So and so it was like once a week, they had a beginner's class at a time that I could make after work. And I drove there, walked into the beginner's class, and they were like, and go with this step. And I was like, the what? Like, I don't know what that is. And they were doing them across the room. That's apparently something they do in dance.
Flap, 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 change, flap, flap, flap.
It was exactly like that,
a
right?
A shuffle step?
But it was
a shuffle off a buffalo, a time set. I could do this all day.
But so it was something where it was, I was excited to do it. And now even still, I will slap on my tap shoes, pull up YouTube and pull up a step and sit there and try and teach it to myself. But like, I enjoy that. I'm okay with being bad at this.
It's just fun.
But it was hella intimidating to be like, I gotta be here for an hour having no idea what's going on. And in a large class setting where no one has the time to come explain it to just me. That is horribly intimidating. And I did not enjoy that. That was not
fun. I've been that girl at the tap class because they've been learning the same routine all year. And then you show up and you're like, what's happening?
Yeah. I did not want to. Well, this is paired, of course, with my deepest fear, which is being a burden to anyone at any time ever.
Oh, you think you're bumming them out?
I feel like I'm holding up. I'm wasting people's time. An imposition.
No.
And that's what it would be if I stopped anyone to ask for help.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't stop the class. You just have to, like,
I like how instead of you're just like, well, you
She's
are
like,
right.
Well, no, actually, yeah, you would be a horrible
person. Good
job
realizing your very, very obvious limitations.
You're just, like, supposed to try. Just go and try. Smile. Try not to fart in the classroom. You know.
That's all I did. I filled that room with farts and I said,
lit it up.
Tap dancing does seem so hard, though.
It's harder than it looks.
I think it's good for preventing Alzheimer's because you're making new synapses in your brain when you use your body to do dance, and like especially the left side of like left people. You know,
my grandma. It probably had to have been how many years ago? Because we were living in that other house. I was probably 20 years old, so it's 11 years ago. So my grandma would have been 90, but she I'd mentioned to her that I got these tap classes and these tap shoes for my ex-boyfriend. So I guess I hadn't been suited in that because I'm doing that. Doesn't matter what it was. My grandma was in her 90s, early to mid 90s. And she was like, she was born in 1924. And she's like, oh yeah, I took tap classes when I was a young girl. And then set the locks on her walker and did a time step.
Oh my God. It's in her.
She just could. Just
yeah. It's in the muscle memory part of your brain is the lizard part of your brain, and it's the oldest part, and it's a habit. So even if you get a head injury, you can still, your body, like if you ask someone with a head injury, like how do you get to the bathroom? They won't be able to tell you.
They can walk there,
but
though.
They can walk, their body knows how to walk to the bathroom.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It was 60 to 70 years she had not tap danced, and she was able to just like tap.
How long do you want to live? Like, do you think about that?
Amy, why would you ask me that question?
I don't know.
I want to
live.
He
was like, let's do about -5. Like,
God. I'm thinking I've got about 16 years in me, and I'm currently at 31. So, so I'm 15 years past expiration.
No.
My Best Buy date is long gone.
Your dad's doing great. He is fit as a fiddle and ready for fun.
Yeah, he's out there.
See, like, I'm going to be like that. Like, I'm going to wear really sexy shirts. But
I kept showing pictures of my new nephew to everybody. And there's a picture of my dad holding the baby. And everyone goes, oh, my God, look at your dad's biceps. Because my dad, like, he was, like, cradling a baby.
And crushing his head.
That baby's also 10 fucking pounds. So, like,
it's heavy.
Like, it's a heavy-ass baby. But he's also, like, making sure the baby's supported. And is, like, just the way that picture, like, his bicep is, like, bulging. And everyone's like,
do 10 reps.
So hold
with the
up,
baby.
You said that your mom died. Has dad seen anyone?
Oh yeah, your dad's.
Everyone's like, your dad
How
is
old's
so
your dad?
Handsome. He's 78.
He's 78. That's pretty good. I still have muscle mass.
Plays pickleball every day.
It's the pickleball.
It's the pickleball.
Keeping him alive.
It's the pickleball.
I'm gonna play tennis as long as possible. Pickleball, you can come for my dead corpsey body.
I'm gonna play pickleball. I'm gonna get into pickleball just to spite Amy.
Wear that.
I used to play tennis. That's
I was going to say the F word.
My friends who play pickleball said that they don't want to play pickleball with me because I was a former tennis player. They said that's the biggest problem for the pickleballers is like when the tennis people come out there because they think they're so good. But it's a different game. You got to hit the ball a little differently.
Yeah. It's you have a smaller to hit court. It. You have to hit it like you are a child or an elderly person and you're playing a game that goes tink, tonk, tink, tonk. Tank.
It was clap, a game clip, invented wop. At the summer home of a former senator. It seems right up your alley.
pickleball seems right up your alley.
I learned about it. I learned about the like pickleball camp. Like it was an island off the coast of.
It's like in Martha's Vineyard. Like it was.
Jesus. And it was a bunch of kids, and they didn't like. It was too windy to use a shuttlecock. Yeah, it's like to say that word. Because and so they found the wiffle ball.
The wiffle ball.
And
yeah.
They were trying to play tennis, but something like it was. They had to just kind of like they didn't have what they needed. And
then they used a wiffle ball in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even. I know of pickleball. I don't know shit about it outside.
It's essentially it's all the racket sports like mixed together. It's partially the rules of ping pong ball, partially the rules of tennis. Like it's. You've got weird rules on like how many bounces you can
have.
I'm
too poor to play all those, except for ping pong, technically. But,
but yeah, you would pick up the rules to pickleball very quickly, and it's played with a wiffle ball so that they couldn't hit the ball into the lake, was my understanding, or the ocean, whatever body of water they were on. I don't remember, but yeah,
that's all right.
Whether because it's witty, but yeah, that's and yeah, pickleball because it's like the pickle boat in rowing. Where it's like people show up to like, you know, crew.
For crew. Okay,
and,
you are earning that sweater you're wearing today.
And the kind of remain, if there's, they've got too many people for each team, the remainders who didn't get selected for those boats, or those, yeah, boats, all get thrown onto one boat together. They didn't like, they're not like necessarily affiliated. That is the pickle boat. And that's where pickleball came from.
Okay. Stern. I can say boat words. Don't worry about it. Yar. Vomit.
That one. Yacht.
Yachk. That's how it's spelled. all right. So okay, you don't know how long you want to live. -15 years.
-15 years is how long I would like to live. Let's go back in time and kill myself.
It's gotta be. It's so scary. It's so scary. Get your time machine.
I was gonna say Matthew's like they. I just God. Yeah. That's such a funny sketch of right? somebody being like, "Finally, I invented a time machine." And they're like, what are you using for? You're like, you'll see. And it's just you going back in time. You're like, here's the thing. They're going to find. So what you do, and it's just you telling yourself how to kill yourself. And then you see it. And then you start to disappear. Disappear. And you're like, finally.
Everyone's like, what are you going to do with your time machine? Going back in time and kill baby Hitler? Close.
I'm going to kill my greatest enemy.
That is true. Like you're your own worst enemy, right?
Yeah.
Most people are their
Nothing's
own worst enemy.
Nothing's been as nearly fatal to me.
Then the time.
Maybe
machine.
Other than like my car and driving in Atlanta, than myself.
That's like when women are attacked by the people that they love, or they live with their partners.
I saw a meme that was like husband. Why would I want a husband? You mean the thing that killed everybody on Dateline? Not my joke. Saw it on the internet, but it was so good. That's how I... Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's... If I had a time machine, that's what I'd do with it.
So, okay. I don't know how long I want to live. I definitely am living now. Like, I'm not going to live very long. I'm going to stroke out if I keep eating turkey sandwiches and drinking this much.
You're going to be fine. You're doing great. You're thriving.
I'm thriving.
You play tennis.
I do play tennis.
Unhealthy people can't play tennis.
Thank you, Matthew. I'm going to put that in my pipe and smoke it. all right. So you have any goals for yourself for the New Year?
Just survive it. 2023 was rough. I mean, it was just a rough year. And especially this last month was just like atrocious. So yeah. I'm just trying to like, I do need like a reset.
Do you want a dish?
On some things. No.
It's all family stuff, probably.
Once the camera goes off.
Okay.
But yes, definitely some 2024 goals, like getting back out there. I've got a bunch of out of town dates coming up.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you need an opener?
I mean, in No, because like, well, one, I'm not. One, I didn't. I no, I'm booked. I invited you to the first one. The Savannah trip. I did invite you.
Yes, you're right. So you just ask your best friend if you can open for him, and he's like nope.
I don't get to bring my opener to the others, though. That's the problem.
Hard pass.
No. You know I would travel the world with you.
I would travel the world. You know what? Internet and however the thing works for podcasts go out into people's ears. If you want Matthew and I to come to your town, get all your besties, your girlfriends, your guy friends, your gay friends, and have a nice comedy show in a place where you get 20 people. We'll come for 20 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll come.
100%. We'll be there for 20 people.
We'll do our boat and pony show.
Yeah. I'll joke about trying to kill myself. Amy will joke about how much she fucking hates cats. Okay. That's what we bring to a city near you.
To a city near you. It would totally come. It would be fun. I don't have any fun dates. I have a couple fun dates going forward, but I do feel very, people are always like, oh, Amy, you're on tour. I'm like, what? No, I flew one place and I did a show and I came right back. And I didn't sell it out. So I didn't get to have two shows. Just the one.
Just the one.
I do feel like you're piecing it together. It feels very like, what are those things? Those little things called that poor people eat? Crumbs. It feels like it's
Jesus Christ.
Joel's rolling his eyes. I get the whole damn cake. All right. Let them eat crumbs. Marie Antoinette actually did not say that. P.S. It was from a play. Anywho how. I think Voltaire wrote it. I don't know. A character in one of those plays. I'm making all this up. I could be wrong. But I feel like you're piecing crumbs together, trying to create an art, and it's doing it like one strand of hair at a time, like trying to weave together a beautiful hour and have it have callbacks and be insightful and new and not cliche, but relatable and not too dirty. And it's really hard to do it.
It's hard.
10 minutes, 8 minutes at a time.
And there's just so much, and we were talking about this a little bit before the camera started rolling, but there's just like so much politics in it as well, which is just, and any, it doesn't matter, there's no escaping the politics of any industry. Like, and it's just, I don't know if it's particularly bad in the entertainment industry, but it's
do you have any examples?
One of boyfriend's favorite phrases is it's who you know and who you blow. And at this point, I am open for business.
You're like, I'm trying to blow. But would like to have.
I have been doing it wrong.
You have been.
Uh-oh, I'm not that. You're
kidding. Yeah, it's,
I'm
yeah.
I'm going to ride on your coattails because I'm not that good at that. let me
dust oh off God. The old instrument.
Amy's
got to
get better at blowing.
You sound like my husband.
But yeah, that's so taking opportunities when they're there, being very thankful for them when they arrive. Like I just did one of my favorite shows in the entire world, Tipsy Zone, which is mostly an improv show. It's an improvised episode of The Twilight Zone. But they bring in like a stand-up to do stand-up at the beginning, and then they weave your stand-up into their episode of The Twilight Zone, which is so fun.
Oh my gosh.
Fun to watch like the callbacks to your jokes. Yeah, they're remarkable. And it's the Tipsy Zone because it's a drinking game for them on stage and for the audience.
Where is that?
Oh girl, it's at Red Light Cafe. First Friday. This week is Marietta Mendler.
Oh, wow.
Is the speaker. Yeah, it's a hoot and a half. You should go to. I'm going to tell them they should book you.
Hoot and a nanny.
I'm going to get you booked for that. You pick the first Saturday of the month or Friday of the month that you want, and we will talk to them.
Okay. That sounds lovely.
And it is so much fun. So go see it. But like they had the host of the show last weekend dropped out last minute. And they called me up and I was like, yes, thank you. Taking the opportunities when they're there, being genuinely, I mean, I appreciate them so much. They're good people over there. So it was really fun. That's nice. The kind of opportunities I have right now are like with good people.
Did I tell you I cut my hair by myself over the trash can? I'm sorry. That's not like a non sequitur. But
it's completely a non sequitur.
I just leaned over the trash can and started cutting my hair. And
did you have a mental break?
I just wanted to feel in control of something.
Like, I have no control over these turkey sandwiches, so let me take control of my hair.
Yeah, my career. I have no control over my career.
Oh, your career.
So, yeah, that's why it ties into what you're talking about. We're taking it like... You just feel like...
Take control of something.
That's...
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is why Britney Spears shaved her head.
Exactly.
she wanted to do more stand-up comedy. She couldn't get booked.
She said today she's not, or yesterday, when no, at the time of recording, it was yesterday, that she's not doing any more music. So anyway.
I think she's just twirling with knives and that's her new normal.
Honestly, that sounds like fun.
She could work at Cirque du Soleil.
She does.
Also, she's so fucking rich. Why, she doesn't have to do anything ever again.
But you still have to do stuff or else your soul dies.
No, I meant like she doesn't have to do anything professionally that she doesn't want to do. Like could just tour. Yeah. She could open.
She could volunteer.
She could volunteer, just whatever.
There could be a group home of children that want to see swirling knives. Go entertain
She should
the children.
Get in touch with Pink and start getting into aerial acrobatics with knives. As long as you don't cut your own line, you're good.
Yeah. Yep. Cirque du Soleil could take her. That's like a circus and hot people flying around.
It's like a circus, for those of you that don't know. That,
it's like a circus with an accent.
It's a French-Canadian circus.
It's so weird. I have never been to the French part of Canada, but if Cirque du Soleil is any like cue to what it's going to be like, it's going to be trippy.
It's that and Celine Dion, and that's it.
And that's they are both pretty trippy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably wild there.
Can we go?
Let's get booked.
Let's go.
You have to do everything in French, though. Do you speak French?
No.
Neither do I.
Damn.
You only speak blowjobs, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's an international language.
Honestly.
Blowjobs.
They understand them everywhere.
International.
From my own research.
The international language of...
I have not been to Quebec, but I have blown someone from Quebec. That
really?
Is true. Yeah.
Do you have like one of those maps where you put all the little flags in places you've been, but it's places I've blown? Like, let me see your passport. Okay, yes, come on over.
Yeah. Oh.
That's like the Tinder's all like pictures of passports.
I should have a little diorama of the UN and I just put their pictures into the seats. Just
oh my gosh. And their code name is Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh my god, the Speaker of the House. I think that's a great way to do it instead of a whole map. Just representatives.
Yeah, just.
Now representing Russia.
Yeah. Oh no. No blowjobs for Russia.
No blowjobs for Russia.
Lots of people in Russia that still deserve a blowjob.
That Ukraine war is going to be over very quick if they're not
getting... they're not getting blowjobs from Matthew, they're going to...
Yes.
Get out
world
of there.
World peace. You just made world peace. Congratulations. Now
where do I go next?
Miss America.
What atrocity would you like me to end next?
I got Vladimir Putin and Zelensky in the same room, sucked him off at once, and now everything's fine.
Yes, they're cum pals. It's like blood brothers, but...
What an interesting energy we're bringing in going into the new year.
I don't know what's happening.
This is so... my heart feels better. I don't think I'm going to cut my hair tonight.
Don't cut your hair on your own.
I'm a cutter.
Oh, my God, no. No, absolutely not.
Well, my armpits are sweating. That was such a good riff on BJ's.
Good BJ riff, everybody.
All right.
Good BJ riff.
Good. We've done an hour.
That's an hour?
That was an hour. You want to say before we say goodbye to everyone and thank them for watching our Christmas videos on our Instagram and our Facebook and... Have us come visit and the comedies. We're a good hang afterwards.
I should have written down
the comedies.
I do a bunch of vodka afterwards and then Matthew drives me home.
Yeah. And we get turkey sandwiches. We shame eat them in the car. I don't know. It depends on when this comes out. Like I could plug things, but I don't know.
Is going to drop in 2 weeks because we got Ian Aber. Everyone would have just listened to Ian Aber. So it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So that, what date is that?
Oh, baby.
Today's the 4th. So the 28th.
Ian drops. You are going to drop on the night of the 15th, morning of the 16th.
Oh.
You okay, Matthew?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, February?
I hate talking
about January.
Oh, shit. These come out weekly.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're watching my podcast, Matthew.
I watch one of these people I like.
That's So you're not the first person to come on my show who is a very close friend who's like, wait, you ask people what kind of nerd they are? I'm like, that's literally the whole thing.
Listen, you can't expect any of your friends or family to listen or watch
they
the
already
thing.
See
you
me
get,
enough.
You get like one or two, oh, you started comedy, I'll come out to a set. Then they stop. But like after that, no one's supporting you. You got to find people that don't know you already.
People who want to giggle in their hearts about light topics like shame and unliving yourself could come and listen to the Amy Brown Nerdy 4 podcast. It's on brand.
Want to see people talk about tragic things and not cry but smile
in a fun way. I did not have sexual relations
with that woman. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like Bill Clinton, like fucking 20 years ago riffs for
my thumb popped up and then I slipped into it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's how I get real relatable with the kids is to do some old Bill Clinton.
That's how you find your people.
See, that's one of the things.
Speaking of people who made it off of blowjobs, round of applause for Monica Lewinsky.
Yes. Yes, she gets to do the U.S. Yes, the president.
Yeah.
Oh, what if it's only the presidents that you're allowed to do the BJs for, and then you can fill out your model UN?
So only war criminals.
Well, yeah. Everyone who's in charge has to do a little bit of war some of the time, right?
Yeah.
Even Canada.
I would blow their prime minister.
Oh, yeah. He's really hot.
Yeah. Justin Trudeau?
Absolutely, 100%.
He did blackface.
Yeah, but they didn't.
But apparently, who didn't? I don't. Like, that's what we've learned.
This is what I'm talking about. Pockets
doesn't make
of
it
time.
Okay.
The longer,
of course not. But like,
but
oh
yeah,
my
yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
The longer you live, the more pockets of time you have, the more opportunity to stick your foot in it.
Yeah,
the more chances you have to do blackface. Sorry for everyone that didn't do blackface yet.
It's out now. You missed it. You missed the pocket of time.
I feel the same way about Hawaiian necklaces and shirts. That's cultural appropriation. And eventually, I think
if I were you, Amy, I would not put blackface and Hawaiian shirts on the same level.
I'm just saying, like, we're moving towards a direction. Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. Don't get me in trouble.
No, I have a hard time explaining this to my brother. Like,
is he always walking around the house in blackface?
No. But we...
Like, Jesus, how many times do I have to say?
But you don't know what we're doing currently that is going to be deemed...
Inappropriate.
...culturally insensitive.
Yes.
Later.
I agree. Uh-huh.
Because he was roasting Tina Fey and how terrible of a person she is. And
is she?
She had an episode of 30 Rock with a character in blackface. That made it onto network television like 20 years ago. No, not even 20 years ago. When did 30 Rock come out?
She slipped in under the
2007.
Yeah, in like 2000s.
So
I did not see that.
Yeah. So like 15 years ago, that was deemed by a network censor to be okay. And now we're looking back at it. Like, and she addressed it during her Mark Twain Prize speech, where she was like, I hope she, after the end of this very, you know, they have to write, that's, if you win the Mark Twain Prize for humor, what a terrifying acceptance speech to have to give, because it's like 15 minutes long and you just want a prize for being funny, so it better be good.
It better kill.
And hers did.
All
and
slappers.
At the end of it, she goes, at the end of the day, she's like, I just want people to talk about my work the way we do Mark Twain's. Wow, that's actually pretty racist. Which is a great joke to end on, because it was like right as she was coming into this like controversy of like people are looking back at her older work being like, this isn't okay. But
yeah,
by the standards of 2007, it was. We have changed. And I was like, David, you will be shocked, and because he was being so judgmental of people. And I'm like, you will be shocked about what you're saying today.
He was being a real younger brother, it sounds like.
I was like, well, he's being a real Gen Z. But it was like, what you're doing today, something you're doing today, guaranteed. You are a white male. Something you're doing today is going to be deemed by someone to be inappropriate later.
Well,
you're going to learn from that. Oh, stop doing
it. Gen Z, most of the vernacular and slang they use is just taken from black culture.
Yes.
Like, and they're just reappropriating. They're just appropriating it, where it's just called, yeah, which is a very funny, like.
Exactly.
Most all the shit that Gen Z says is just taken from black culture, and then they say it unironically without any realization that they have appropriated black culture.
Yes. They also say no homo.
They say it ironically, though.
Yeah. Is they're that all gay now because of they're school shootings, gay. So they don't have time to wait to come out. They got to do it right away.
They all
the stuff
are,
in the water is making the freaking frogs gay.
Yeah. Once again, though, I think it's just because they realize their mortality because they have to do extra shooter drills. So it's like, you know what? I want to suck a dick, y'all. I want to suck. I was hiding in the closet with 30 other classmates because we're overcrowded, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm a little gay.
We're
yeah. Thank God good for them. They, honestly. I mean, I can't imagine having the active shooter. Like, that's terrifying.
I went through substitute teacher training, and we had to talk about how to lead active shooter drills.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and then Matthew was like, I'm gonna open the door and ring a bell.
No, Joel, there's kids in there. I'm only a danger to myself.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're gonna take them down.
Yeah, running. No. Take all your clothes off.
No,
and
but they
naked.
Were like, you have to, the hard part of that training, and I don't know if this is how much darker
dark
can
again.
We get? But it was like, child you have to close and lock the door, and if there's a student in the hallway outside banging on the door, you have to tell them no.
That's ridiculous. Just quick, let them in and lock the door again.
But what if they're the shooter and they're lying?
Because they're also going to pull attention by making noise. Oh, yes, there's terrifying. Little mirrors
but saying,
you can
but that's
see.
The thing where you say, but what?
The windows.
Because they could be the shooter lying and then they come
they
in.
They could be using
boom,
the.
Boom,
they kill the you. Shooter could know that they're trying to get in and use them as a shield. Like it, or they could be the shooter themselves. Yeah. You don't know what it is.
So we're assuming that there's not a window that you're looking through to see.
What if we just stop having kids and stop as a species? What if we just let crows take
Dude,
over?
If you have children, good for you, but guess what? They just go and they leave. So what's the point? And your heart breaks.
And you're in an existential crisis.
All right, well, thanks everyone. You've done this right. Welcome to 2024. We gave up.
I'm so glad I came back to do this and bum everyone out.
I'm okay.
Did we get too dark?
Oh, no. I'm glad you didn't murder yourself while your mom was still alive. Oh, God.
That would have killed her.